We open with hymn number 210. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Then thou forgivest iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. As newborn babes, alleluia, desire the pure milk of the world upward, alleluia, alleluia. Sing aloud to God our strength,
Make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. With honey from the rock I would have satisfied you.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee that of thine ineffable grace, for the sake of thy Son, thou hast given us the holy gospel, and hast instituted the holy sacraments, that through the same we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech thee, grant us thy Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe thy word, and through the holy sacraments, day by day establish our faith, until we at last obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is found in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, the 22nd through the 31st verse. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place, Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of 1 John, verses 4 through 10. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. For it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. He is risen from the dead and is going before you into Galilee. Alleluia. After 8 days, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Alleluia.
The gospel is found in the 20th chapter of John, the 19th through the 31st verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled together for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And so he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said to them, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 195.
Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 20th chapter of John, the 19th through the 31st verse. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. And he said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And Jesus truly did many signs other than those, truly did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, on the day of the resurrection, and on the 8th day of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples. First to one, then to 10, and finally to all 11 of them who were gathered together, with the doors shut, meaning the doors were barred, and they were in an upper room where they hoped that no one would find them. The doors were barred because they were afraid. They were afraid because they had learned very well what happened to those whom the rulers in Jerusalem considered to be a threat, and they were very effective at convincing the governors to deal with them harshly. That is, to put them to death. It was one thing when Herod or Pilate shed the blood of the Jews. Quite another when the Jews themselves turned against one of their own and had him mercilessly slaughtered, not for committing some great crime, but for speaking the truth and preaching the kingdom of heaven. They were afraid enough that they did not believe the words of the women who came to them, who reported that Jesus had risen and that they had seen him. It was like idle talk to them. Now, Peter came and he gave them the same news. Luke tells us that he had seen the Lord. And again, the two disciples who came back from Emmaus claimed to have seen the Lord, except that they did not recognize him until he had sat down to eat with them. And then they didn't see him anymore. What were they to think of all of these things? In telling of the same event, Luke reports that even after seeing Jesus for themselves, they still did not believe until they saw Jesus eat food. And so we should not single out just Thomas, because none of the disciples would believe the resurrection until they saw it for themselves. And even when they saw it, they did not believe. Luke says that this was because their joy was too great. In other words, it was too good to be true, and they were so overwhelmed that they could not believe their own eyes. Their hearts were filled with conflicting emotions, joy still mixed with fear. Because as we see in our lesson here, after 8 days, after having seen the Lord, There they were again, in the upper room, the doors barred shut. Perhaps they feared also because they felt guilty for forsaking Jesus during his passion, running away like cowards, and now being afraid to be seen in public for fear that they would be killed next. Jesus had called them fishers of men. He promised that they would sit on 12 thrones at his side, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But none of them were now willing even to speak the name of Jesus in public. Fear had overtaken them. So the doors again were barred shut. No one was getting in unless they opened them up from the inside. But nevertheless, suddenly Jesus appeared in the midst of the room. He did not make a big show. He was just simply visible where before he could not be seen. And the first words out of his mouth were, "Peace be with you." And with those words, Jesus showed the disciples his hands and his side. Luke tells us that this was not enough for them. They thought that Jesus surely was a ghost. And he had to tell them, "Touch me. See, it truly is I. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And so also he ate a bit of fish in front of them to further prove that he was no spirit. The greatest proof that he was no spirit was that he, Jesus, had risen just as he said, was in the first proof that he showed them, in his hands and in his side. He showed them the scars of his passion, the scars which proved to them that this was the very same Jesus who was dead and has now risen. These scars mean everything to us. Look at his hands and his side, and what do you see? If you could put forward your finger and touch them, you see that they are living hands, for they are the hands and the side of a living and breathing man. There are scars there in his hands and side. They're not bleeding. Scars do not form except in a living body. The scars are the mark of the nails and of the spear. John bore testimony that the spear pierced the side of Jesus so that his bodily fluids of blood and water poured out. John even made a point to swear to the detail. He said, "He who has seen has testified. His testimony is true. He knows that he's telling the truth so that you might believe." Why is John so particular about that wound? Because it proves for certain that Jesus died on the cross. John was drawing attention to his death. The body that was buried was examined prior to that by trained executioners. The soldier who pierced his side was no idiot. He was not simply being cruel. He pierced the side because if you lose your bodily fluids in that way, you really are dead. And yet, here is the side of Jesus with the scar mark of the spear. And he talks, and he eats, and he can be touched. His hands and his side speak volumes. And Jesus' own first words are, "Peace be with you." Only a risen Jesus with real scars can say those words. How could the disciples have peace after all that they had just experienced? It could only be if their hopes in Christ, once dashed, were now suddenly fulfilled. Only if Jesus lives again could they have peace. Only if Jesus appeared bearing his scars could they know that his wounds and his words about himself were true words. And indeed that the Father in heaven who testified of his Son Jesus had not lied. Therefore it takes a risen Jesus and not merely a spirit to declare, "Peace be with you," for that peace to have any meaning. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. He has not come to torment or kill. He has not come to take out vengeance upon those who deserted him in his passion. He comes to bring peace. The first peace is absolution for abandoning their Lord. Peace, he says, I do not hold it against you. I do not count that sin as yours. But also be at peace because your Father in heaven is now at peace with you. The scars in the hands and the side are the proof that you need to see that the Father has accepted the sacrifice of his Son. The wounds in a living Christ bear witness that his death was sufficient to pay for your sins. Therefore, peace be with you, for heaven itself is yours. Peace be with you because those scars tell you that the same Jesus who died is the one who rose. And that means that he is not a phantom or a ghost or a shadow of a man who once was, or even some alien creature or divine half-man who has nothing in common with us lowly mortals. Scripture is clear. The body of the man Jesus Christ is alive. The same man who healed and forgave sin and who ate and talked and who preached. And that means the same Jesus who kept every commandment and ordinance of God in your place. The scars show you that the Jesus who arose is the one who took your place under the law of God. He fulfilled the Ten Commandments. He was circumcised. He made the sacrifices. He obeyed the law, the purity laws, the ordinances, the statutes of God in every way. You need not fear that what does the life of Jesus have to do with me? That was so long ago. For this same Jesus can still hold up his perfect life in place of ours. His own perfect life, because he is not dead, but has risen. And to this day, his perfect life continues to stand in our place, showing God our righteousness. And just as the perfect life of Jesus is still counted to you, so also you cannot lose the fruits of his perfect suffering and death. Jesus does not only show you his hands and side, he also shows them to his Father in heaven. He continually bears testimony to the Father that your sins are paid. Only a risen Lord Jesus with real scars could be your mediator, an advocate, and great high priest. And so, with the words, peace be with you, Jesus makes certain that you have every testimony that is necessary to know that his peace is real. And it is everlasting. He appeared to his disciples in this way because he wanted to establish the certain and sure testimony of his death and resurrection until the end of the world, so that you might believe in him and so that you might have life in his name. And thanks be to God that even though we do not see Jesus anymore, yet even though we do not see him, we believe. Because he has left a testimony on earth to bear witness to men, even as he continues to bear witness in heaven. And the witness that he leaves for you that is still with you today is his spirit and the waters of baptism and his body and blood. Just as his body and blood bear witness in heaven, they also bear witness here on earth to us. He testifies to you in his holy supper that his blood was shed for your sins and his body was given into death for you. And he invites you to come and touch and see and taste his body and blood, which was wounded for your sins. He continues with these to show you his hands and his side. And the water also bears witness, the water of baptism. For in baptism, you are buried with Christ and raised with him. You join him in his death and in his resurrection. What better witness can you have that he takes you with him into the grave so that you can die with him and live again with him? But all the testimony in the world would do you no good if you will not believe it. The disciples first did not believe for sorrow, then for fear. And even after seeing and touching Jesus and watching him eat, Luke reports that they did not yet believe of all things because of their joy. They quite literally were so astounded at what they saw, so jubilant that they could hardly believe their eyes and ears. And so it was not just Thomas who was a bit slow on the uptake. It was all of them. And later when Jesus appeared to the 500 at once, he still had to rebuke many of them for their hardness of heart because they did not believe that he had risen from the dead. We should not be surprised at this. Unbelief is the natural state of men. It's unnatural for Jesus to rise from the dead, to appear in the middle of a locked room. There's a whole world of people who do not believe this, and that is why Jesus left in the world a kind of testimony that can convince the hardest of hearts. That is, he left his spirit. He made sure that his testimony is preached to all men. He breathed on his disciples and he sent them to preach the testimony of his death and resurrection, to proclaim repentance and the remission of sins in Jerusalem first and then to the uttermost part of the earth, and to make sure that their witness is true and effective. He gave them that Holy Spirit and the authority to speak in his name so that their words would be his own words, so that they could pronounce the forgiveness of sins or retain them for the impenitent. And these, in fact, would be Jesus' own words and testimony. And there with his spirit, and there with his word, and the blood of the covenant by which we are which atones for our sins, and the waters by which we are buried with him in baptism, we have God's testimony to men, the witness that his spirit continues to make to you today. These are the witnesses which God gives to you. As our epistle lesson says, they all agree in one. They show to you the imprints of the nails and the wound in Jesus' side, so that you might know that Jesus is still the Christ, the living Son of God, and that by this faith you might have life in his name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. O God of all grace, mercy, and peace, who by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead did declare him to be thy Son and our Savior, and who by the faithful testimony of the apostles has given us assurance that our faith stands upon a most true and sure record, grant us thy Spirit that our hearts may rest in thy truth. We thank thee for the gift of eternal life in thy Son. Preserve and defend us from all error, doubt, and unbelief, that we may hold fast to the profession of our faith. Save us from vain philosophies and worldly wisdom, and establish in us the truth of thy word. We lift up our hearts to thee in thanksgiving for thy word. Illumine us by its heavenly light and instruct us by its saving truth, that we might bring forth the fruits of righteousness. Help us therein to find Jesus, our risen Lord. Lead us to rejoice in him, and grant that we may receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Breathe upon thy church that it may faithfully preach thy word and proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and diligence in all lands and to all people. Enrich the schools of our churches that they may bring forth youth who walk in the true faith and obedience to thy holy will. Hearken unto the inner yearnings of our heart which seek thy help and favor, and give us the assurance of thy mercy. And as we each must bear the cross, assure us that thou wilt not permit us to be tried above that we are able to bear, but will strengthen us and therein through the grace of and give us help therein through the grace of Jesus Christ. We especially ask thy blessing, O Lord, upon David Deers, Linda Deers, Jim Schrader, and the people in the South who are suffering much from the tornadoes. Give unto them strength and comfort to bear with their temptations and their cross, so that they might always be comforted with the knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ, who was wounded for their transgressions, and bring health and healing to thy people. Forgive now the sins of thy people. Strengthen the doubting and the faithless. Bring back the forgetful and the wayward, and comfort the anxious and the distressed. And as we go from this hallowed place this day, grant unto us all thy peace. And this we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn number 380.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us, and hath taken away the sin of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy.
Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ,
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks unto thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn number 50.
Oh.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You know about Pastor Schrader, who is he had to get his surgery done as a follow-up to his colon cancer he had some years back, kind of a normal standard procedure that has to happen, and he's had a rough time in the hospital, and he's still recovering, and you know, his heart's been all over the place and his blood sugar's been all over the place, and so just he's in need of your prayers. He's still doing okay. It's just, you know, it's the recovery has been kind of slow this time around. So if you would keep him in your prayers also. And also remember my father in your prayers, whose hand is killing him. We're going to have a little bit shorter Bible class today, I think.